Hello, compassionate viewers, and welcome to Healthy Living. Recent studies have suggested that long-chain omega-3 fatty acids containing docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA, and eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, can be beneficial to adults in maintaining a healthy heart and to fetuses and young children in facilitating brain development. Thus, some consume fish or fish oil, which contain these acids. But what does science say about the physical effects of omega-3 fatty acids obtained from this animal source? Also, are these substances even needed by our bodies in the first place? On today's program, Dr. David Jenkins, Professor of Nutritional Sciences at the University of Toronto in Canada and Director of the Clinical Nutrition and Risk Factor Modification Center at Toronto's St. Michael's Hospital, shares his knowledge on these subjects. Through the years, Dr. Jenkins' research has focused mainly on using diet to prevent and treat hyperlipidemia, or high levels of lipids or fats in the bloodstream, and diabetes, and has published over 200 papers and other works on this and related topics. For his outstanding contributions to the field of medicine, he has received numerous awards, including the Canadian Society of Nutritional Sciences Borden Award, the American College of Nutrition's Goldsmith Award for Clinical Research, and the Benjamin Spock Award for Compassion in Medicine by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Let's begin by discussing coronary heart disease, a chronic condition in which the arteries leading to the heart become narrowed or blocked with plaque, resulting in less oxygen reaching this vital organ. If the heart suffers from insufficient oxygen, a heart attack may occur.
Well, let's go back to the heart, because we're really interested in what's happening to the heart. And one of the real problems that we were facing was when we did angioplasty, when we put a balloon into the artery and expanded it and opened the artery up so it got rid of the constriction in the artery. Mm-hmm. Post-angioplasty, we got what they called restenosis. In other words, the artery closed down again very quickly and very often blocked up or became as narrow as it was, or even narrower, than before you'd expanded it.
Some scientific studies in the 1990s concluded that consuming fish oil could help stop the closing of artery walls and hence prevent coronary heart disease. However, in recent years, researchers have re-examined these studies and have reached a different conclusion.
We failed to bother to follow up. The angioplasty studies didn't all turn out to be rosy. Dr. Alexander Leaf was one of the people who did one of the decisive studies that showed that it really didn't seem to work in the way that we'd thought.
Another problem occurred with a study on heart attacks and fish oil. Four reports of clinical trials said that the use of fish oil prevented heart attacks. However, 5 years after the first study, those who consumed fish oil fared worse than the control group.
What they didn't bother about is the DART follow-up. When the DART study was followed up, the metabolic memory, as we now would call this, even though the people were not maintaining their randomization to test or control, they ended up doing worse at 5 years. So it becomes important when you string a study out and watch what happened long term. Then the DART 2 study, the DART angina study, took place. Same personnel who'd done DART 1, which was a raging success. Mm-hmm. They looked at men with angina. When men get, chest pain, those gentlemen are more at risk for heart disease later on. So it was a very justified group to look at. Mm-hmm. And they looked at fish and fish oil. The fish oil actually did worse. And actually the fish oil was significantly worse. Mm-hmm. So more heart attacks or in the men who'd had the fish oil.
It is not necessary to consume fish or fish oil to obtain long-chain omega-3 fatty acids. They can instead be acquired from common plant-based food sources. For example, flax seed and canola oil contain short-chain omega-3 fatty acids that can be converted by the body into the long-chain type for EPA. There is less evidence for DHA synthesis, but if significant amounts are required, they can be obtained from algal sources.
But there are a lot of supplements now, like nuts and soy.
Nuts and soy and these sort of things, yes. But these give you the alpha-linolenic acid, the shorter chain omega-3. Okay. And the shorter chain omega-3 fatty acid may actually give rise to the longer chain eicosapentaenoic acid, the EPA. Mm. And there's a reasonable conversion, 5% or so. So that's really quite respectable.
Dietary supplements are also available that provide DHA and EPA from the same source where fish obtain theirs, algae.
There are ways of producing the long chain fats, if they're necessary, by plant or algal sources. So I think they're already being produced, they're already being used for baby formula. So there's really no reason why we shouldn't be focusing on this much more than we are. And we're not at present.
According to Dr. Jenkins, the essentiality for fish sources of omega-3s has not been established.
So what we're saying is that this should be a wake-up call for certainly very careful research in this area, more studies, and if we come to the conclusion that it is absolutely essential that we have DHA and EPA, then we should be getting these not from marine sources. I think that is the message, and we can get them from other than marine sources. When I say marine, I mean fish sources.
When we return, Dr. Jenkins will discuss the consequences to the environment from fish consumption as another reason to use only plant-based sources of omega fatty 3 acids. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Healthy Living and our discussion of long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, including docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA, and eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA. Some scientific studies have suggested that these substances help to prevent coronary heart disease and enhance brain development in the young, so some people include supplements in their own or their children's diets. However, the essential role of supplementation with fish oil has not yet been conclusively demonstrated. Dr. David Jenkins, Professor of Nutritional Sciences at the University of Toronto in Canada and Director of the Clinical Nutrition and Risk Factor Modification Center at Toronto St. Michael's Hospital, is an expert on diet and has examined the research evidence on omega-3 fatty acids. Dr. Jenkins suggests that if these acids are to be part of one's diet, one should derive them from non-fish sources, such as dietary supplements that synthesize the acids from algae.
We can actually produce very significant amounts of the long-chain omega-3 fats, DHA, EPA, if we need to. If we need them, let's demonstrate it, let's go forward, let's synthesize them. If we don't need them, then let's still do the studies, which we have to do to show that we don't, and then let's change our diets and lifestyles in other directions. Or go forward changing our diet and lifestyle in the direction of eating more plant-based foods and take the synthesized omega-3 fatty acids.
Dr. Jenkins is deeply concerned about the fish population of the world's oceans. If more and more people attempt to get their omega-3 fatty acids from fish, the ongoing rapid disappearance of fish from our seas will be accelerated.
So I think the story is that the fish around the world are under tremendous pressure right now, and very much from human activity. My friends in this area estimate that by the year 2050, we will have depleted fish stocks on a planetary scale, and that will be just another of human beings' disaster areas. So let's do a little thinking.
According to the United Nations, in 2005, commercial fishing operations took 90 million tons of fish from the oceans. Fish are simply being removed from the waters at an unsustainable pace.
But as a private citizen, how would you go about making this conversion or getting, like, the political leaders, the governments, to act.
There are other ways we can find omega-3 fatty acids. We don't have to deplete the seas of the stock.
Right.
So I think the way an individual, a private citizen, can get involved is to debate. I think that's important. I mean, if we debate amongst ourselves and challenge each other with the question, I think that's the beginning. Most of the changes that we've had that have taken place, most of the societal changes, have had to come with debate. And I think that's appropriate.
Besides the devastating environmental impact of the fishing industry on marine ecologies, consuming fish and fish products also has a damaging effect on human health. For example, a study published in the American Journal of Epidemiology in 2008 revealed that among pregnant Danish women who consumed fatty fish, those with the highest intake had 50% higher levels of polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, in their blood plasma compared to those with the lowest intake. Polychlorinated biphenyls are highly toxic and known to cause cancer. Production of this chemical is banned in Japan, the United Kingdom, and many other nations. The study also found that the higher the amount of fatty fish consumed, the lower the birth weight of the infant. Finally, researchers have learned that the best way to keep our hearts healthy is to adopt a plant-based or vegan diet. For example, Caldwell Esselstein, MD, a former surgeon at the world-famous Cleveland Clinic in the United States, demonstrated through a 20-year study that changing to a vegan diet can effectively prevent and reverse heart disease. In closing, we would like to thank Dr. David Jenkins for sharing his insight on the effects of omega-3 fatty acids on our health and for discussing how this substance may be obtained from non-fish sources. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Healthy Living. Please stay with us for science and spirituality following noteworthy news. May the world be at peace.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/HL.